The Democratic Party announced the 20 presidential candidates in the upcoming second debate. Five candidates did not make it: former Senator Mike Gravel, Congressman Seth Moulton, Mayor Wayne Messam, former Rep. Joe Sestak, and Tom Steyer. Gravel and Moulton reached the qualifications for the debate, but the cutoff was 20. They didn't rise as high as others in polling and money. Let's talk to Seth Moulton about that. We have been speaking with the 2020 candidates. Today, Massachusetts Congressman Seth Moulton. He was recently part of the wing of the Democratic Party pushing Nancy Pelosi to move over and let younger generations lead the party. Before that, he served four tours in Iraq. He was an aide to General Petraeus. In fact, he accompanied the general to this program. We once spoke with Moulton in Iraq when he started a TV show with his young Iraqi translator. So, Congressman Moulton, welcome back.
It's great to be back, Robin. Thanks for having me.
And I want to talk about your positions and your plans as candidate. But can we start with your position in the race right now? As you know, many know, you were seen as such a formidable rising star in the party, especially with your service to this country. But struggling to qualify for the debates, what do you think happened here?
Well, this is actually what we expected when I got in so late. You know, I have a young daughter at home. My wife and I are first-time parents, and I wasn't going to get into this race when she was only 2 or 3 months old. But we just outraised five of the people who were on the debate stage in June. We've been ticking up in the polls. A poll yesterday had me ahead of a couple of senators who have been in for a lot longer than me. So we're actually going in the right direction and doing fine. It's just going to take a little time. Most importantly, the message of bringing a new generation of leadership, but someone who's tough enough to go toe-to-toe with Trump on the debate stage, that's resonating with voters. Those voters are ultimately who will decide this election.
Well, I do want to talk about that. You are one who is calling for impeachment. But what about your role in calling on Pelosi to move over? You're speaking of a new, younger generation. As HuffPost says, she then painted you as a white male member of the business-friendly New Democrat Coalition. And so while moderates were upset with that call, HuffPost portrays this as progressives also then not aligning with you. Was that a mistake on your part?
No, not at all. The issue with House leadership was never one of ideology. It was the fact that the top three leaders have been in power for a combined total of about 100 years. And I think it's time for a new generation to step up and lead.
Well, so how would you first, as president, unite both the party and the country?
Well, first of all, I think that's what we have to do as a party in order to win. I don't think Donald Trump is going to be as easy to beat as many Democrats like to think. And to win, we're going to have to build a coalition that includes everybody in the Democratic Party, plus independent voters, those Obama-Trump voters, and even some disaffected Republicans. And that's exactly the leadership experience that I bring uniquely to this race. My fundamental job in Iraq was as a Marine platoon commander, which meant that I was on the ground leading troops in combat. And I had this remarkably diverse platoon, several remarkably diverse platoons. But at the end of the day, we had to come together to serve America. And I think that that leadership experience is exactly what we need from our nominee to win this race, but also from our next president to accomplish all the things that we would like to do.
Well, in fact, I think you've said that the only way to bring Republicans over to a vote for a Democratic candidate is to have some sort of a national security vision. What is yours?
So my national security vision is that it follows the principle that we should win wars without fighting them. That's an old Chinese principle, but it means that you lead with diplomacy and you lead with a new generation of arms control, and alliances. That means modernizing NATO to meet a new world where Russia is attacking us through the internet, not rolling tanks into Eastern Europe. Building a Pacific NATO to help contain the rise of China and the threat of a North Korean nuclear missile. Of course, the opposite is what's going on now. Rather than win wars without fighting them, we're fighting wars without winning them. And that's why I'm calling for an end to the longest war in American history, but making sure that we end the war in Afghanistan responsibly. We can't make the mistake that we made in Iraq when we pulled out so quickly that we had to turn around a year later and put the troops back in. So I think that we need to have a reinforced diplomatic mission in Kabul to reinforce the Afghan government and maintain a small counter-terror force there to ensure that we don't have terrorist training camps like what led to 9/11.
Okay, quick lightning round here. Where are you on Medicare for All? Absolutely Medicare for All, no insurance industry, or maybe an expanded Medicare with an option of insurance? Where are you?
No, I'm with President Obama, which is that we need to have a public option, a Medicare-like option, although I think we can do better than a plan designed in 1963. I don't want to force anyone off their private plan if they want to keep it.
Okay, so that's Joe Biden is also for the public option. A free college.
We need to do something about the college debt crisis. I got an email 16 days ago that announced I had finally paid off my last college loan as a member of Congress. I guess now I get to work on grad school. So we have a massive debt problem in this country. And under my administration, you'll never pay more than 10% of your income towards college debt. And if you still have it after 20 years, we'll eliminate it. But I don't think we should promise free college to everyone, because for the price of free college to, you know, for the half of America that even goes to college, we could literally eliminate child poverty for years. So we've got to get our priorities straight here. We do need to do something about the price of college, and I will address it aggressively. But we can't leave out half of America by giving free college just to those who are already fortunate enough to go.
What about socialism? According to polls, you know, almost half of Americans embrace some form. Now, socialism in some countries is democratic socialism, which was what Bernie Sanders is for, which means expanded Medicare. It doesn't mean government taking over the markets. Your sense?
I'm not a socialist. I'm a proud American capitalist. I just think that everybody has to pay his or her fair share. And I just want to make sure that our free market system is fair for all.
Okay. Voting, you're calling for a new Voting Rights Act. You want to abolish the Electoral College. Make Election Day a national holiday. Should voting be required?
Voting shouldn't be required, but we should do everything we can to encourage it, to make sure that everybody, every American who wants to vote, gets a chance to go to the polls. And a lot of Americans can't right now because they have to work all day, because they have jobs that make it impossible for them to vote. So why not have voting day be a holiday?
Talk about revealing that you realized finally that you had suffered PTSD from 4 tours in Iraq, and you revealed that you had sought help, got a therapist. At that time, you worried that that was going to set you back in your campaign. You know, you worried that there would be people who wouldn't want to see a president who admitted a vulnerability. Do you think it has set you back?
No, actually, the response has been incredible. Veterans coming up to me and saying that because I shared my story, they started talking about experiences they had 50 years ago in Vietnam and have never discussed before. And in conjunction with sharing my own story, I've also released the most ambitious mental health care plan of any presidential candidate. Under my plan, everybody in the military will get a yearly mental health checkup, just like you get an annual physical, whether you're sick or not. And then we'll extend that to every high schooler in America so that it just becomes routine that you go and get checked for mental health issues. Mm. Mental health issues are on the rise in high schoolers. But I also just want to establish it as a standard so that any time in your life, if you feel like you need to talk to someone, you can not face the stigma of getting care.
Very briefly, where does the money come from?
The money comes from my tax plan, which will actually raise more money than Elizabeth Warren's tax plan. But it's just about making people pay their fair share so that if you're investing money, you're paying the same rate as people who pay ordinary income taxes.
Well, Congressman Seth Moulton, we always ask a getting to know you question. So
sure.
Do I understand, in a world of Game of Thrones and Fleabag, you know, these hit cable or Netflix shows, what is your favorite TV show?
You know, I love This Is Us.
Oh,
I think
too.
It's an amazing story, amazing American family story, and my wife and I like to watch it together.
This is the story of one family flashing back and forward in time, nominated for several Emmys, and it has a Vietnam veteran storyline. Yeah.
It does. It's a fun show to watch, but I think there are also a lot of life lessons in it.
Yeah. Massachusetts Congressman Seth Moulton, candidate for president in 2020. Congressman Moulton, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thanks so much, Robin.